Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am running for Public Advocate of New York City to ban vaccines in 2013. I have two very important guests on today. One is Breeda Murphy, who is a renowned chemtrail activist from Ireland, who will be speaking about Irish sovereignty and chemtrails and give us a brief update on the Irish Children's Challenge put forth by Kathy Sinnott. And I will also be interviewing Ronnie Prime. And Ronnie Prime is the father of a vaccine-injured child. And he will share his hair-raising story with you. Okay, I'm going to pick up Breeda Murphy forthwith. I look forward to speaking with her. Okay.
Hey, Sally, can you hear me?
I hear you now, Breeda Murphy. Welcome to the show, Public Advocate, my new show.
Thank you, Sally.
Where would you like to start, with Irish sovereignty or chemtrails?
Yes, Irish sovereignty and then the last part, the chemtrails.
Fine.
Well, I'll briefly give you a rundown. For the last 94 years, the people of Ireland have been lied to. Beating the Oireachtas. What we have in government at the moment is the real government, but it is not. It's a provisional government agent for the Crown. Ireland is registered on Wall Street, so all the parties connected with the so-called government is registered Wall Street. But ERA is sovereign since 1919. But this has been suppressed from the people. But information is getting out there now. And there are people who are giving talks. Ireland, ERA does not. We're all sovereign. We're freeborn. The present setup was set up for King George of England. And it's a subject that I'm only learning about. And I'm on a learning curve, Sally. It covers everything. But basically it comes down that people are starting to find out that any of these agencies for the Oireachtas need a license to operate because they're all private companies. And in the southern part of Ireland, in Cork, some people I would know went in to City Hall and demanded to see the license for the household charges. And they didn't have a license. And recently, a few weeks ago, they went in again, and they found out, this was in Cork City County Council office, and they found out they didn't have a license. And subsequently, they found out that they bought themselves a license for 5,000 euros, so they can collect, and if they haven't already collected, 40 million in euros in traffic offences. I understand they were going in to arrest the Lord Mayor, and he was sick and not available. Now, this is happening it's happening in Ballincarry, where they're looking for the license and everything. These people are operating, they must have a license. But a lot of the Irish people don't know this. And what they're using on the people is fear. If you don't pay this, you'll get this fine or you'll get that fine. And people have forgotten. It's a civil matter. If you do not consent to something, they cannot bring it into force. And the police, the guards, some of them are beginning, we say cop on here, they begin to realize that it's civil. And so long as you don't harm anybody, it's not a criminal offense. But it comes down to license. So I know there are people going around giving talks around the country. And as I say, I'm on a learning curve. I kind of knew some of this stuff, but it's great to see it getting out there. And people are actually beginning to realize that they don't have to pay. And I do remember my mother telling me, Lord rest her soul, that if you owed money, if you offered a shilling, she would say that was the old money, you know, they cannot take you to court. You're not refusing to pay on what you owe. But in the meantime, the information has to be got out to the Irish people in their interests and for future generations, because we hold this land for our children and our future, their future. We don't need to be going off after this money, which is not real anyway, it's fiat. And Ireland is a very wealthy country. We've oil, gas, and gold. Sorry, I wasn't expecting this call, and it's kind of off the top of my head. But really, to get the information out plain and simple, and when it's put to people in plain and simple language, they will understand. You don't have to consent to a foreign government. That's what it basically is in Ireland. After 700 years, we now have our own native tyrannies. You know, what people would have looked up to and still look up to, like we say Fine Gael, Labour, all the political parties are registered on Wall Street. And it's so hard to get that into people's heads. It's unbelievable. But I don't want to be in the system, because it's basically corrupt. And I know in 1972, it was a deal was signed off for our oil and gas with Rockefeller. And now we need to look at this license again. And we need to demand it. And it's going to be people power that will change things in this country. And hopefully it'll have a ripple effect in other countries. Because in most Western countries, we're all under a corporation. And when people see, oh, this TD, like an MP, got such a rise in salary, they're in uproar. But to me, if they're corporate, they're business. It's just business with them. They don't care about people who are suffering, who have nothing to eat. And people are losing their homes because they don't know. They don't know they're sovereign. And every piece of land and all the water around this island, we owned. I'm sorry, I get very passionate, Sally, about this. Because
that's why I asked you to speak about it. And could you tell us a little bit about the ceremony that went down, the turning of the seal?
Well, you know, this year,
the listeners about that.
Yes, on the 21st of January, there's a ceremony goes on, the turn of the sovereign seal, and this is Ireland's really Independence Day. But we were never educated about this. We were never told about the Constitution, and it is this year. I was asked it a couple of times before. But this year was unbelievable. People were left out in the cold. And I think this crowd that's in power at the moment, they're running scared because it's not advertised in the media. They don't want people to find out that the people have the power, because they want to keep their well-heeled lifestyle. But it's coming down. I watched the Lord Mayor. He had to read the proclamation, and it's a very emotional proclamation for me from 1916. One of the leaders, Patrick Pearse, read out, "We're a sovereign independent." It's a proclamation. It's not a declaration. It's a proclamation of our independence. But this has been concealed from the people. And when people say, oh, it's democratic, now, I don't know if you've ever broke down the word democratic, but I've been looking at some things. Democratic means mob rule. And I understand from the 17th century, they decided, the powers that be, to decide to give us a choice to keep us quiet so we can have votes. If one party is not doing what you think it should be doing, let you vote maybe 4 years here or 5 years, 4 years at the most, to vote out someone else, and they carry on the same policies. But if people don't wake up, if we don't use our sovereignty, we lose it. I'm sorry, Sally, I do get passionate about this because it's so simple. The men and women of 1916 have shed their blood for us. We don't have to go out on the streets marching and maybe come up against violence from the police here, which seems to be on the increase. Not all of them, but some of them. But we don't have to do that. We can sit down and write a sovereign letter asking the Oireachtas where they got their authority from. And when you write in blue ink and you put sign sovereign and you put your name, because I don't know if anybody's ever looked up the straw man. This is your fictional identity. This is why they give you capital letters. And when you sign anything, if it be it a loan or anything else, the power is in your signature. But people don't realize this. And consequently, it goes back to Admiralty Law, you know, when Britain was an empire, a seafaring, Admiralty Law, even the language they use when you go into court in the dock. And when you're registered, birth, like, we all came into this system. The system has been around a long time. But people don't realize when they're registered children, you become property of the state. And when you're no longer productive, they want to get rid of you. And I know some of the ways they're doing it. They're doing it with vaccines and the chemtrails, too. That comes into it. And for us, at the moment, they are refusing to take the fluoride out of the water. It's all adding up. All the dots are adding up. But I know
Everything that you just said, Brita, pertains to the United States as well. And I'm going to put a link under this interview from Max Egan, which refers to America's sovereignty. So I appreciate your speaking about this, and please also forward a link that I can put up for people to readily understand what has transpired and what their sovereign rights are in Ireland. And I will refer our listeners to these links in the comments area or directly below the interview. Now, please take some time to explain how you are feeling as a result of the spraying of these chemtrails over your head, as we are suffering from right here.
Sally, I am just recovering. My strength is coming back. But just before Christmas, so many people were ill. There was two types of chemtrails. One was flu-like illness what I call a chemtrail cough. I had the other type, which was left me confined to the house, couldn't eat, barely could drink. I had to force myself to drink, and I had the emergency doctors. And for the first time, I missed Christmas with a very close friend, and also missed a Christmas occasion with my family. Some of them were sick as well. And it's increasing. And we live near an army base here. And I understand from friends who have seen these NATO choppers taking off and landing. And I realized, I was looking at something about the Cura, why they want to retain it, because when the British were here, that was a military base. And they have, I was watching something that was shown locally, they have the trenches for troops that are going abroad on these peacekeeping messages. Inverted commas, where they can train them for desert. But this base is very handy for NATO, and I don't know whether people realize it or not. NATO is a private company, and a lot of people don't, because Ireland is supposed to be neutral. We're not neutral. We've been sold out in that respect as well. these NATO choppers and perhaps NATO planes are operating. Well, definitely for the NATO choppers, the land is very flat and they can land and take off. And people, as I say, were very sick, and I'm just recovering from them, just getting my strength back. And also I know that, I understand at Dublin Airport there is a big sign for NATO. And they're operating out of that, I think, on some of the commercial planes. I'm not sure of what they're spraying from that, but I'm definitely sure they're definitely spraying us with barium, strontium, aluminium, and arsenic, mercury, I think, because I've actually got the taste. I get a metallic taste on my mouth at times, in my mouth, and it's very unpleasant. But I've never noticed so many people when I've been able to get out and about sort of sniffling, and this is from the sinus. This is another thing that's from the spraying. Out the other day, unbelievable, we had like a harp with chemtrails.
I
actually
heard something
spoke from a man.
Do you know Dane Wigington? Are you familiar with him? I heard an interview by him. A gentleman by the name of Dane Wigington, who is a chemtrails activist here in the States, and he said that 200 species a day are going extinct from this.
I don't hear the birds singing. They used to wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They often have my sweet prayers on them, but I don't hear them singing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed... usually at this time of the year in Ireland, you know, the vegetation is very green, and it's not. On the train recently, usually coming into spring, you will see the greening, but the land looked very burnt, and we've had a lot of flooding, which is not usual, and then we had very mild weather. This is not usual for us, and this country has always enjoyed a mild climate. Mind you, a lot of rain, but however, definitely they are definitely, and they're speeding up things, because I think when I say they, the globalists, they're the elite, they're behind in their programs, but they're definitely speeding up things. I've never known so many people.
I have to make an announcement, and I don't want my next guest to come on and not have made this announcement, Brita. Cherie Foytlin, who is a Gulf Coast activist, now she has been fighting this core exit, and the children are perishing along the Gulf Coast. This is very serious. Well, she just was arrested along with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in front of the White House protesting, and they're holding a rally tomorrow, Sunday, at the Washington Monument at noon. So I wanted to get the word out to meet Cherie Foytlin and other protesters against the KXL pipeline, which is nearly completed and threatens the lives of communities in the Gulf Coast. So I hope you will join her, our listeners, tomorrow in Washington at the Washington Monument at noon. Okay, go ahead, Brita. But these are the same concerns that you are expressing. You know, she's fighting the spraying and putting in the water of the core exit, and now, you know, the tar sands and the XL pipeline, and all of these things are threatening the well-being of the citizenry.
Could I also mention, Sally, about these windmills? They want to put these windmills here in Ireland, and they're going to be so many feet high, but they actually can collapse in a gale. And, of course, people who are into the environment don't realize that the environment, you know, has been hijacked, green on the outside and red on the inside. But this power will not go to Ireland. It's going to the UK. Germany wants to do the same, but it's not going to do it in Germany. It wants to do it to its next-door neighbors. I understand from people who have lived around where these windmills, as I call them, they can't sleep with the noise of these things. And the way they're controlling the weather, nobody will have any chance. And until we get this corrupt system out, we will be subject to this. And I was listening to Max the other night, and I really think he's on the ball.
He is.
People are, you know, when people, the more and more people are going to be hit by all these cuts, austerity cuts, they're going to have to wake up and realize. And the more people start pushing back, the more the reaction they're getting. So
now you're talking about Max Egan? You're talking about Max
yes.
Egan?
Yeah, he was on one of our Irish radio shows the other night, but I've heard him before. I was familiar with his name, and I was listening to him the other night. And he's very much on the ball, as we say here. He's very much with what's going on. And he thinks that, he feels anyway, that this year is going to be a tipping point. We can't stop the awakening. And as he said, maybe I'm not quoting these words word for word, but he did say that the more they push people, I think it was him or his guest, the more they push people, the more people have to realize that something has to be done and start standing up and taking back their power, because in the end, it's people power that will change things.
That's true.
As regards...
He gave a very important link that I have to direct people to that will certainly enable you to claim your power. This is very important. So when we finish the show, I will post that link. And any links that you give me as well, Brita, that you feel are super important for our listeners to read and understand. Because we serve here to educate people. So I know that you are... just such an educator. You have educated me so much. I want to thank you very much, Brita Murphy. Would you like to say something about the children's referendum in closing?
To the best of my knowledge, Sally, I haven't heard too much about it, but I know I will just say my knowledge is that it hasn't gone on the law books yet. And I know there would be another challenge, but that has been postponed.
Okay. So the challenge doesn't stand and the vote doesn't stand. Neither of them are on the law books right now.
No. That's to the best of my knowledge.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good because they did go to the court, but I don't know what judge. He deferred it. And I think the judiciary are getting impatient. Because the other side don't have their facts.
Well,
do you understand what I mean?
Information with regard to this very serious rights of the child, which removes the rights of the children and families, that has been challenged, and we will put information to educate people about this very serious and ongoing situation. So, Brita Murphy, thank you ever so much for calling in and educating our listeners and empowering them in doing that.
Sally, if you want to give the site, We the People, it's www.wethepeople.ie.
Okay, www.wethepeople.ie. Thanks again, Brita Murphy. I'm going to pick up my next guest, Ronnie Prime. And I thank you so much, Brita, for calling in and educating our listeners.
Thank you, Sally, for having me. And I was a bit off the top of the head. Could you send me a link for that, please?
Certainly I shall. Certainly I will.
Thanks, Sally.
With love, my friend.
And you too. We all fight.
Okay.
One way.
Bye-bye now. I love you.
Me too.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Slong.
Okay, and I believe Brita has hung up.
No, I'm still here. I'm going to listen to your guest.
Oh, you have to hang up in order for me to pick her up.
Oh, sorry.
So I will bid you adieu.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
So long before.
Okay. Cheerio. Okay. My next guest is the father of a child who is vaccine injured seriously and severely vaccine injured. I am eager for him to tell you this very serious story. Is this Ronnie Prime?
Yes, it is. Hi,
welcome,
Sally.
Welcome, Ronnie Prime. Hi there.
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm fine. I'm so pleased that you're on our program so you can educate people to the realities of vaccine injury and
okay.
how it affects your family, yourself, and, of course, your child.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Pleasure.
Okay, I'll just get right to it.
Please.
My wife and I were married in back in 1984. And after living together and starting our life together, we decided, you know, we wanted to see about having a child. So we started planning. We lived in a trailer at that time, so we wanted to build a house first before we even thought about bringing a child into the world. So it took us a little while to get him here, but in 1991, my son was born. He was born by C-section because my wife could not, he didn't engage like he was supposed to, so they had to go in and take him, but he was born perfectly healthy. Came out with all fingers and all toes, crying, you know, just like any normal baby would. We took our son home a couple of days later. He had a little yellow jaundice, but that was about it, and was perfectly healthy. We took him home and started our new life with our baby. We had the nursery all built, and my wife is a nurse and went to college for several years before we married to be a nurse. And so I pretty much trusted in her to help make the decisions on shots and things like that. So I thought nothing of it. When it came time to do the vaccinations at his 6-month age, you know, I had this gut feeling, you know, are we really doing the right thing? Are we really doing what we need to do to protect our child? So I thought, well, surely we are. You know, if my wife says it, well, it must be so, because I had been vaccinated. So we went, took my son to the doctor to get his vaccines, and they did the first set. And I'm cringing the whole time. They give him the shot. He cried a little. Was a little bit fussy. We took him home, and everything was okay. Then he developed an ear infection. So it took us a little while, but we put off getting his shots again because of the fact that he had an ear infection. So weeks later, the ear infection cleared up, so we took him back for the next set of shots, which was the DPT, and we took him in again. I had that same gut feeling, and I didn't listen to my voice, and I said, okay, you know, this has got to be done. He needs it to go to school and all this stuff, and to be protected. You still there?
Yes,
okay.
I just want to say you didn't listen to your little voice.
No, nope,
all
I
of
did.
Us didn't
I
listen
did not
to that
listen
same
to my little,
little
voice. No.
And now I tell my children, if I die tomorrow, I need you to know that little voice is there to protect you.
Right.
So
right.
Always listen to that little voice. Please proceed.
Always. I wish I had. Because my life was turned upside down the day we walked out of there with my son. He continued crying. He was very fussy. He had a knot in his leg, and we put warm compressed rag over that. Gave him Tylenol like they suggested. He cried continuously for days, and then finally, you know, he stopped crying. And he, of course, then he slept in his nursery. I had a beautiful nursery made up for him. And he was in his nursery, and we thought, well, you know, all is good. He slept all night, and then all of a sudden he just stopped sleeping all night. And we'd go in and check on him, and he'd be wide awake. So we would rock him, put him back to sleep. And then this continued on for a while. And one Sunday, my wife and I, we are from the South, so we went to church like we were supposed to, and we were getting ready for church, and I was holding my son Eric in my arms, and all of a sudden his eyes rolled back in his head. He turned as blue could be, and the only thing I could do was just run for my wife. Because I was not trained in CPR or anything. I didn't know what was going on. So I ran and flung him into her arms and said, he's not breathing. And she got him, and he was in a full-blown seizure. Of course, I had never seen a seizure before, so I did not know. So
seizures are very common after vaccination.
Yes. But, of course, at that time, I did not know that seizures could follow the vaccine shots, the DPT. That's one of the symptoms of having a reaction to the vaccinations is seizures. I did not know this. I did not read. My wife did. She read the pamphlet, and, you know, of course, she didn't want to scare me, so she didn't tell me. But anyway, make a long story short, my son started having seizures. He stayed in the hospital overnight. We brought him home. Doctor said, it was probably nothing, brought on by a fever. Never happened again. Well, it did happen again. Within weeks later of that session, he started having seizures back to back. He had 24 seizures on our way to the hospital, which the hospital was 20 minutes away from where we lived. So you can imagine flying down the road with your son having 24 seizures in the car with you. We got to the hospital. All they did was look at him and said, oh, well, so he's having seizures, huh? Did he fall on his head? Did he, you know, what happened? Did you hit him? What? And we're like, no, we did not hit our son. He did not fall. The only different thing that has changed is we started him on baby cereal. The other thing was he got his childhood vaccinations 3 days ago. And they're like, oh, well, that's nothing. You know, the vaccines are safe. There's no way that could be the cause. So let's do some MRIs and some CAT scans and that kind of thing.
I will interrupt you here and say that Dr. Vera Scheibner, foremost authority on vaccination, has said flat out that the doctors do in fact know this. And they know that a high fever and seizures are a typical outcome post-vaccination, and they cover it up. Please proceed.
Well, his fever was only 101, so that couldn't be the case as I look back now. But he, this went on for months. My son was put on phenobarbital, all kinds of seizure medications. He was he's been hospitalized 17 times. He's been on the ventilator twice. I've almost lost my son several times. And to this day, my son is 21 years old. He is the size of a 5-year-old. He never walked. He never talked. I never heard my son call my name.
And he's 45 pounds, did you say?
He only weighs 45 pounds. He has to have 24/7 care. He has a feeding tube. He's never even tasted a Coca-Cola. I'm a stay-at-home dad. We lost everything that we had in Mississippi, our home, our insurance, everything. There's a compensation program, and there's over $3.8 billion in that compensation program, and it's supposed to help and take care of kids that have reactions to the childhood vaccinations. Well, we didn't know about this compensation program, and it took them 8 years to finally diagnose, yes, I have a doctor that has diagnosed my son with having a reaction to the DPT vaccine.
The window of opportunity for you to get any kind of reimbursement had long passed.
Right, gone. So we waited 8 years to even think about having another child until we had a definite diagnosis that my son, this was not genetic. I hear that all the time. He did not fall on his head. Nothing. He was born perfectly normal. I have a YouTube video of my son before and after the vaccines. The picture of my son on the YouTube video is before the vaccine. The video was the last thing that my son ever did at 10 months. He no longer smiles. He no longer looks at you and knows, that's my mom, that's my dad. So, you know, I get a lot of that.
And how old
well,
is your son?
He's
21, am I correct?
21 years
21.
Old. My daughter is 13 years old, never been vaccinated. She's never had anything. She sat next to a kid in school that had the chicken pox. This kid got a booster and winded up with full-blown chicken pox. And
got a booster for chicken pox to prevent it. And he wound
right.
up getting it.
Yes.
Right?
My daughter did not get the chicken pox. She sat right next to this kid. And she is perfectly normal. She's fine.
Well,
she can go to
The Freedom of Information Act has revealed that these vaccines are intended, the intention is to give the disease they claim to prevent.
Right.
There's nothing keeping us now.
Yes.
We've got
nothing.
The science behind us, and now we've got the intention. With Simpson Wood, we had the cover up. So there's
right.
it's we ban them now or never.
Right. And they say, oh, you know, anything happens, this compensation program is there to help. No, this compensation program does not work. It hasn't worked since it was put into place. It takes an act of Congress just to file a claim. And then after you file this claim, you may only get $250,000. What is that going to cover? We ran out of that. We would have run out of that years ago and still been back on Medicaid. But yet, you can't apply for government assistance if you take this program. So there is no help. So you're pretty much on your own if anything happens.
And considering they're suggesting 50 vaccines now through the age of 5, oh, I'm
yes.
sorry, 49, through the age of 5, there's no way your child will be surviving this if you go along with the recommended CDC schedule.
Exactly. No way.
No way.
And they lie when they tell you your kid can't go to school without these vaccinations because there is an exemption form that you can sign and your kid could go to school. But people listen, homeschool, it's the best thing. Your kid will learn more at home than they do in the schools. Okay. And that's my story. I have I am a stay-at-home dad. My wife is an RN. She works while I stay at home and take care of the kids. And I have a YouTube video, which is one per Eric, and under YouTube. Go there and see his story. He has over 130,000 views. over 1,000 comments, some bad, some good. I'm here to help. If anyone has any questions, you can always email me at oneforeric@msn.com. I also have a website, which is oneforeric.vaccineinjury.com. And I'm not afraid to talk to anyone. So if you just need to talk.
When we hang up, when I send you the link to this radio program, I would like you to put all of the links you're referring to now in the comment area so that everybody who's listening to you can access them and can contact you directly. And I know that there are a lot of parents out there who don't understand what's happened to their child. And because of all this disinformation, they may never know, you know. And it's wonderful that you've come on and you've described your son's reaction to the vaccines and the seriousness, the profound seriousness of it all. I told you a while ago I had asked an autism mother how long it had been since she went to the movies, and she started to cry. Knowing that since this happened, she had zero time for herself. Has this been the case with you and your wife? Do you have any freedom whatsoever?
Not much. We have to go to bed or, you know, at a certain time in case he starts having seizures so that we will be rested if he does. We don't get to go out very much to the movies or anything like that. Our lives are pretty much confined at home because if we get sick, then he gets sick. So there's a lot of flus and things like that out there. And to protect him, we stay pretty much out of the public as much as we can. He is wheelchair bound, so it is kind of hard to take him, you know, different places. So we do everything we can at home. So our lives are pretty much turned upside down.
There was something that I heard in a program, and it said, slow to learn does not mean slow to feel.
Right.
Do you feel that this applies to your child as well? He cannot learn, or he has no capacity to learn? Does he not?
He does not. He is about at a six-month-old child.
The capacity to feel, does he not?
I want to say that he does. He doesn't cry. He doesn't do, you know, much of anything as far as I have to guess at, you know, if he's hungry or if he wants to sit up, if he wants to watch TV. He really doesn't even know that he's in the world, I think. But I want to hope that he does.
Well, he responds one way if you were to speak to him kindly. And, if you were to take him out, would he know that people might ridicule him, for example?
No, he would not.
Okay.
He would not. If he looks at he wears diapers all the time, so he can't even control his own bowel movements or his, you know, bodily functions on his own. He can't even hold his head up sometimes on his own. I mean, that a lot of people don't see this, you know, because they don't put it out there for you to see that this can happen, you know, and this does happen to kids all over the world, and you just never know about it until people like us tell it.
Well, I think I mentioned to you on the phone when we were speaking that I ran into a woman in a pizza parlor who struck up a conversation with me, and she, 4 out of 5 of her grandchildren are autistic, and the fifth one was not, because by then they had waded through all the disinformation they were being given, and disassociation from the vaccines is what they, you know, of course it couldn't be the vaccine. Nothing ever is. And the pharmaceutical companies won't allow the doctors to report that an outcome